Well, that was just another second time we've heard all of those instructions, and Yah gives us his instructions more than once so that we don't forget them. What I want to emphasize with all that you heard today was that every time you heard Israel mentioned, they're not talking about the current land of Israel today. That was just what it was called when they gave them, the Jewish people, a state. What you have to realize is that Israel is speaking about the 12 tribes. And usually when I'm speaking of Israel, I'm not speaking of the state of Israel. I'm speaking of the 12 tribes, no matter where they are in the diaspora. No, even Denmark is from the tribe of Dan. And in England, many tribes up there. So the tribes are scattered in the diaspora. And you have to realize that how many of us, I know which tribe I came from because of my lineage, but how many of you know exactly what tribe you're from? You don't. The point is, if you looked into your heritage, you might be surprised. Because you never know, because of the diaspora and they were all scattered, there's a reason why you are here today. There's a reason why you're listening online today. And Yah hasn't put it in your heart for no reason. The reason is that you are more likely than not part of those 12 tribes. And Yah is calling you to him. So that's not my message today. Got nothing to do with my message today. It just was something I felt that I had to share. So today I want to speak. I want to follow on from Galatians that we've just read, because I think it's really important what we read there. And people, when they get to the Ketuvah HaShalachim, just seem to ride over it. And so I wanted to look at Galatians, but I want to go ahead from where we started. I want to start from 22 to 29, because I want us to be able to have an understanding of what the authority of Yehovah is. We read about it, but we never learn about it very much. So let us pray. Abba Father, I just thank you and praise you for your word today. And I pray that you will just be with me in my words. You'll be with everyone listening to these words. And that you'll give them the gems that you want them to have. Abba, we know that each word that is brought from here, that it has been enlightened on our hearts to share. And I pray, Abba Father, that these words not only line up with your word, but line up with our hearts. I give you this message now in Yeshua's name. Amen. So if we can go to Galatians 3, and I'm starting at 22. Instead, the Tanakh shuts up everything under sin, so that what has been promised might be given. On the basis of Yeshua the Messiah's trusting faithfulness, and to those who continue to be trustingly faithful. So he's talking about you. Now, before the time for this trusting faithfulness came, we were imprisoned in subjection to the system which results from perverting the Torah into legalism, kept under guard until this yet to come trusting faithfulness would be revealed. Now, the Jewish and Orthodox Judaism still lives under legalism to this very day. This is why I wanted to start a little bit earlier. So according to the Torah, the Torah functioned as a custodian until the Messiah came, so that we might be declared righteous on the ground of trusting and being faithful. But now that the time for this trusting faithfulness has come, we are no longer under a custodian. We are no longer under a custodian doesn't mean we're no longer under Yah. For in union with the Messiah, Yeshua, you are all children of Elohim through this trusting faithfulness. because as many of you as were immersed into the Messiah have clothed yourselves with the Messiah, in whom there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for in union with the Messiah you are all one. And if you also belong to the Messiah, you are seeds, the seed of Abraham, according to the Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So it's not wiping out Torah, it's making sure that we're obedient to Torah because of our faith in Yeshua. Yeshua came to bring Torah and make it bring it back to the people, because they weren't using the Torah, they were using what the rabbis were bringing to them. So to me, the Torah, or law, as it is often referred to and is being used today by many, imprisons the unbeliever who follow the traditions of the elders, who follow, and they put them into legalism. We are no longer under legalism. We are no longer under law. Torah is not law. Torah is Yah's instructions to his people. That's what we read today. His instructions to us, how to live. Yes, we can't do all those temple sacrifices. We can commemorate them. We can observe Shabbat and keep it holy. We can keep ourselves holy by not defiling our bodies. But we must not think that we are under a law. We're not under a law. So we have to praise Yah for the coming of Yeshua, because he changed all that for those that are in union with him. In Matityahu, or Matthew 11, 28 to 30, if we could go there, Yeshua says, "Come to me, all of you who are struggling and are burdened." Put your hand up. Struggling and burdened. I know I have been the last few weeks, a couple of months. "And I will give you rest." He will give you the rest. You're not going to get it from anyone else. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." People would ask me how I was, especially when I couldn't see, and I'd say, "All is well with my soul." Because I learned to feel very well. It's been really good. It's taught me a few things, but Yah is good. He puts us through trials and tribulations. He puts us through situations that we don't expect, so that we'll get closer to him, so that we can depend on him and not depend on man. He does it for a reason. So there's a key in this scripture. We will never rest until we learn. It's like when I was teaching for 38 years, I'd tell the children they had to learn to listen before they could listen to learn. The same thing applies here. We will never receive our rest in Yeshua until we learn to rest. We can never truly learn about what's in the Kedavah HaShalakim, the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, whatever you want to call it, if we haven't studied the Tanakh or the Old Testament first. That is the complete foundation upon which the Kedavah HaShalakim is built. We have to learn the Tanakh first. We have to come from the foundation, from the very roots of Yehovah's word. So for that reason, let us go back to the beginning. In Bereshit 2, 15 to 17. Yehovah Elohim took the person and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. Yehovah Elohim gave the person this order. Listen carefully. "You may freely eat from every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You are not to eat from it, because on the day that you eat from it, it will become certain that you will die. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Thank you, Paul. That's wonderful. Now, Bereshit 3, further down in the same book. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal which Yehovah Elohim had made. He said to the woman, "Did Elohim really say you are not to eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim said, we are neither to eat from it nor touch it." Didn't hear that bit before. Did it say not touch it before? Nope. It just said you may not eat. So she's now added something. So the serpent, being crafty as he is, said to the woman, "It's not true that you will surely die, because Elohim knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like Elohim, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it had a pleasing appearance, and that the tree was desirable for making one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Now hear this. If we go to Romans 5, 17 to 19, it says, "For if because of the offence of one man, death ruled through that one man, how much more will those receiving the overflowing grace, that is, the gift of being considered righteous, rule in life through the one man, Yeshua the Messiah?" In other words, just as it was through one offence, Adam eating the fruit, that all people came under condemnation, so it is also through one righteous act that all people can be considered righteous. That's Yeshua's death on the stake. So just as through the disobedience of one man, Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of another man, Yeshua, many will be made righteous. I want you to notice the weight of consequences attached to the concept of obedience and disobedience. There are true consequences for both. It doesn't matter what our actions are, there will always be consequences. Disobedience is what put mankind into the mess from the beginning. If Adam hadn't eaten of the fruit, it's got nothing to do with Hava, with Eve. Nothing to do with her, because she was never told by Yah not to eat of it. Adam was. And he ate. So it's not an issue Yah said, "Don't eat of this tree," and it was not an issue of fruit. It was an issue of authority. Yah was in authority. He was in charge. And when he gives an order, we're supposed to obey it. So Yah was in authority and he was issuing an order that they were to obey. Yehovah was actually placing Adam under authority. He was placing him under himself when he was commanded not to eat from that particular tree. It was also interesting to note that in Bereshit, authority was given to Adam in the garden because he was told to have dominion over all of the earth, over all the animals. He had to name them. He had dominion over everything. So Yah was the main authority, then comes Adam. After Adam comes Hava, okay? Because she was under Adam's authority. So Yah placed Adam under his authority, but only those that can be under authority will ever be put in a place where they can be over. So you've got to come under authority because before authority can be given to you to have people under you or things under you. but you have to be walking in that authority. So he made Adam first, then Hava or Eve. She was put under the authority of Adam. Then they reigned together. Mankind fell due to their disobedience to Yah's pattern of authority. Hava did step out of line by taking the fruit. She rebelled against Adam, thereby Yah also. But it was Adam who directly disobeyed the authority of Yah. His disobedience came was directly from Yah, where Hava's was one down. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one in that their cooperative efforts yield disadvantage unless they are both carnal. So if none of them are in Yah and walking in Yah's way, this applies. If one of them falls, the other will help his partner up. Woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to help him up. So if you fall in Yah and you've got a partner or a friend or you've got close family that can lift you up, they will. Malachi and I actually wrote that into our wedding vows. When you are down, I will lift you up. That's what we do as a partnership. And this is how it's meant to be. That's the way fellowship is supposed to work. But some of us are too careless in choosing the fellowship in which we abide. Whomever you hang around is what will affect you. I have a question for you. If Hava started this mess, why does it say one man's disobedience when two of them disobeyed? Anyone, any ideas? Right, because it was Adam who was the authority of the garden, not Hava. She had no authority in the garden at all. She was with him equally, especially over their own children, but she had no authority over the garden. It was Adam that had authority in that garden. It was Adam who was accountable to Yehovah, not Hava. Hava ate without checking on who she was disobeying, while Adam's action, however, was simply self-will. He chose to disobey. It's been said that the more we mature in Yeshua HaMashiach, our actions should decrease while our obedience increases. And if we're not seeing that fruit happening, then there's something wrong. Maybe it's the teaching coming from here. When Jochanan the Immerser spoke in Jochanan 3, verses 30 to 31, he said, we must become more important while I become less important. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth is from the earth and talks from an earthly point of view. He who comes from heaven is above all. Before we became believers in Yeshua HaMashiach and made Yeshua number one in our lives, we are long on activity but short on obedience. And some never outgrow the immaturity of just doing what they like. They think they can get away with it, but they always get caught. Listen to this. Before the fall, Adam and Hava only knew right as it pertained to Yehovah. They only knew what he told them. After the fall, they then had the knowledge of good and evil. This must have come from an internal source. It didn't come from Yehovah. So it came from an internal source beside Yehovah, as Yehovah never told them they were naked. They told him they were naked. He never told them that. Redemption is an issue of renewing our position, of finding our right and wrong in Yehovah alone. All authority starts with and flows from Yehovah. If you touch his authority, you touch him. Can we go to Messianic Jews, Hebrews and 1, verse 1, please? In days gone by, Elohim spoke in many and varied ways to the fathers through the prophets. But now, in the Acharit Hayamim, he has spoken to us through his Son, to whom he has given ownership of everything, and through whom he created the universe. This Son is the radiance of the Shekinah, the very expression of Elohim's essence, upholding all that exists by his powerful word. And after he had through himself made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of HaGadolah Ba'Morim. HaGadolah Ba'Morim is literally the greatness, HaGadolah, on high, in the heavens. Ba'Morim. That is Yah's authority. That's where Yeshua is, at the right hand of authority. The authority commanded everything into being and holds everything together. In Matityahu chapter 8, verses 5 to 10, as Yeshua entered Capernaum, a Roman army officer came up and pleaded for help. "Sir, my orderly is lying home paralyzed and suffering terribly." Yeshua said, "I will go and heal him." But the officer answered, "Sir, I am unfit for you to come into my home. Rather, if you will only give the command, my orderly will recover. For I too am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this one, go. He goes to another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it." On hearing this, Yeshua was amazed and said to the people following, "Yes, I tell you that I have not found anyone in Israel with such trust." You see, this man was a Roman soldier. He wasn't part of the tribes of Israel, but he understood what it meant by being under authority, and he saw the authority in Yeshua HaMashiach, and he wanted to come under that authority. He could see that his authority was far greater than anything that he had himself or that he'd seen. Yeshua acknowledged the man's revelation of how the kingdom of Elohim works. In our day, everyone thinks they know what is right and wrong, especially the young people. They've got it all the answers. "I don't see anything wrong with that," they'll say, whether it's the GLBT movement or gay marriage or whatever. "They don't see anything wrong with it. Everyone's right, whatever they want to do." Okay, you can be right, but we don't see. Our culture is so opinionated and self-willed about what is right or okay in their own eyes. We, as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we who observe Torah, we who want to observe Shabbat, are frowned upon and even called bigots if we do not go along with the political correctness of this world that's in operation today. Because none of those people want to come under authority. They've got a will of their own. You know, Yeshua said, "Let my will be done, let the Father's will be done, not my will." And yet today it's the opposite, complete opposite. And young people are being taught that. If it feels right, do it. If you feel like you're a boy when you're a girl, that's okay. You're one, you're a boy. Don't worry what you look like. You know, it's wrong what they are trying to raise children and think children, teach children to be. And we've had some breakthroughs in that, where in the safe school programs in Tasmania and Victoria have withdrawn a lot of their things from that Safe School program. So it's been working when we've been objecting to these things. But it takes time. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 5, verses 20 to 23. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who change darkness into light and light into darkness, who change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Woe to those seeing themselves as wise, esteeming themselves as clever. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, men whose power goes to mixing strong drinks, who acquit the guilty for bribes but deny justice to the righteous." It is dangerous to have an opinion higher in your life than your own opinion. Having nothing higher in your life than your own opinion. This is because there are spiritual factors that affect our thinking without us even knowing it. If we go to 2 Corinthians verses 3 and 4, it says, "So indeed our good news is veiled. It is veiled only to those in the process of being lost. They do not come to trust because the Elohim of the Olam Hazeh, that's this world, has blinded their minds in order to prevent them from seeing the light shining from the good news about the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim." Satan, or Hasatan, doesn't blind our eyes. He blinds our minds. There might be scales on our eyes, but he doesn't blind them. It's the mind that won't budge. It's the mind that gets blinded. The truth is, even the Messianic community, our understanding of this in this subject is shallow. Obedience of students to teachers, wives to husbands, children to parents, everyone thinks this is harsh if we discipline. People think it's harsh. You can't discipline your children. Until the issue of authority is resolved in our lives, most problems stem from rebellion. Not most, virtually all problems stem from rebellion. Even those within the Messianic community. Because none of us have worked this issue out yet. We're still a work in progress. Our culture has developed a habit of being in charge without knowing obedience ourselves. For example, I'm my own man or my own woman. They won't listen to anybody else. I am the one and I answer to no one. How many people do we know like that? How many people do we know in authority that we have had to come under, whether it's in the workplace, in the government, or even in the home, who lord it over others, have a different rule for themselves compared to the subordinates, and will not back down or compromise in any way? It's my way or the highway. I had a principal once who said, if I want my staff to scrub toilets with toothbrushes, that's what they will do. Will not back down. This was in a Christian school. We have people in workplaces that are like that. In Messianic Jews or Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 to 14. Even though he was the son, that's Yeshua, he learned obedience through his sufferings. And after he had been brought into to the goal, he became the source of eternal deliverance to all who obey him. Since he has been proclaimed by Elohim as a Kohen Gadol to be compared with Melchizedek, we have much to say about this subject, but it is hard to explain because you have become sluggish in understanding. For although by this time we ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you for the very first principles of Elohim's words all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a baby without experience in applying the word about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by continuous exercise to distinguish good from evil. The issue of obedience and authority as considered meat for the mature. That's what the meat is. Disobedience is the milk. But we only the mature are obedient to authority. And this is not grade school stuff, but it's foundational. Sooner or later, we have to face the issue of authority in our lives. Some people just don't like to submit. They can't submit. It doesn't matter if it is blessing you or not. Yet the Defence Force, it doesn't matter which one it is, whether it's Australian Defence Force, Israeli Defence Force, Russian, Korean, China, you just look at how some of those soldiers march. Without one person slightly out of step, with the most unusual marches you've ever seen. But they have to come under authority to do that. The Defence Force tends to teach people this concept of authority. Otherwise, it couldn't operate. It would be mayhem. In contrast, the modern culture makes fun of anyone who follows orders. Who's ever heard or even operated under the saying, rules were made to be broken? So many people live by those rules. If you do 61 kilometres an hour over instead of 60, you're breaking the rule. If you're doing 41 in a 40 zone, going past the school, you're breaking the rule. Rules weren't meant to be broken. They're there for our safety. They're there for children's safety. They're there for everyone's safety. But doesn't mean we follow blindly what we are commanded to do. We have to learn to trust those whom we are submitted to. We don't submit to everyone. We cannot submit to anything that puts us outside of Yah's word. And if you have an unsaved husband that wants you to submit to him, to doing things that are outside of Yah's word, you don't have to submit to that. Yes, wives have to be submissive, but we do not submit to anything that is outside of Yah's word. Unless it submits to Yah's word, we do not have to obey that. Once had a young woman staying at my place. Well, she came to visit, and her husband had a religious spirit, and he went off in a huff about something. And then we had a tremendous storm. There was lightning, there was thunder, there was rain. It was absolutely pelting down. She was here with me and Maliki. He was up in Brisbane on the phone demanding that she come home immediately and that even if she got killed, she had to come because she had to submit to him. Of course, we didn't let her go. This is what I mean by you don't have to obey your husband because that's what he demands. It wasn't for her safety to let her go. It actually wasn't for her safety to let her go back home to him, full stop, because he later ended up smashing her face to pieces and she ended up in hospital, having to have a whole full mouth reconstruction. And they ended up divorcing. But she came to me for help. He didn't want the help, so he went away. And that's what happened. We have to be careful who... And this man, she met in the church, mind you. He was a Christian, so-called. So we have to be careful as to what we submit to, whose authority we come under. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who are working hard among you. those who are guiding you in Yehovah and confronting you in order to help you change. Treat them with the highest regard and love because of the work they are doing. Live at peace amongst yourselves. In the Kedavah HaShelekim, we are not given the option of not having a messianic minister or rabbi or pastor, only the option of choosing which one we want to follow. Listen to what Shaul says to Timothy in his second letter in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. But you have closely followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, trust, steadfastness, love, and perseverance, as well as the persecutions and sufferings that have come my way in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet Adonai rescued me from all of them, and indeed all who went to live a righteous life united with the Messiah Yeshua, will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves, but you continue in what you have learned and become convinced of recalling the people from whom you learned it. And recalling too, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which can give you the wisdom that leads to deliverance through trusting in Yeshua the Messiah. This is the way to stay balanced. Know who you're following. Make sure that who you're following are obeying Yah's word and not leading you into something that is not of him. We go to 2 Corinthians 3:10-6. For although we do not live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way, because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. On the contrary, we have Elohim's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself against the knowledge of Elohim. We take every thought captive and make it obey the Messiah. And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. If we could just get a revelation of that concept, it would liberate us. Let me conclude with this. I've got three things that we should do. One, we need a spirit of obedience. We must be prepared to obey Yah and his word and the spiritual leaders he puts over us. Two, then we've got to practice obedience. We can't live like the heathen, can never simply obey a rule. Then three, we have to learn to operate under delegated authorities. Some people learn how to obey authority, but never learn how to become an authority. And that's really important too, because our children and grandchildren will never know how to live properly if we're not their authority. We can have, for example, an indecisive leader or a husband that will not rule his house before Elohim. And it's necessitating to learn both how to be under authority and in authority to be balanced. Our Messianic community, and that's worldwide, our home and our nation for that matter, we all suffer from those that do not know how to obey as well as those who do not know how to lead. There is so much in Scripture that can help us come to maturity. Our great example was and is Yeshua, who was completely under authority of his Father, even to his death. We must try to live like him. We must try to accept the authority that Yah has given us. You know, if you're a single mother, you have that authority over your children. They have to be obedient to you. You have the right to tell them what is right, what is wrong, what they can do and what they can't do, when they can do this and when they can do that, how much time they can have on the iPad, how much time they can have in the front of a computer, or even how much time they can have watching television. We have to monitor everything for our children today. Young people from 9, 10, 11 are being groomed by pedophilias because they're so clever, they're acting as teenagers. And even in front of the parents and the children, parents are watching what they're doing and reading. They're being beguiled into wrong things. But we as parents need, and grandparents need, to exercise our authority. And we can't exercise our authority unless we come under the authority of Yehovah. So let us now go to the remembrance service and praise Yah for what Yeshua did. Because without his being under authority to his Father, laying down his life like he did, none of us would be here today. None of us would be guaranteed eternal life. None of us will be guaranteed eternity with Yeshua HaMashiach and the Father.